I don't know if you've come across the phrase home away from home. I suppose it's trying to capture the idea of somewhere that has some of the characteristics of what we think of as our home. It might have some of the emotions associated with it. It might perhaps some of the people there are the people we would expect to be at home. Perhaps it is university accommodation that you make feel a bit like your home. Perhaps it's your workplace, which is sort of festooned with things that sort of remind you of home. Perhaps your allotment shed. Perhaps a caravan feels home away from home. Perhaps it's the same holiday accommodation you go to every year because it just feels so familiar and you like it so much. Well, my name is Ian. I'm one of the leaders here, and we're continuing our summer series in the theme of home, how the Bible talks about home, what it teaches us about ourselves and about God, how God has placed a desire for home in our hearts in order to draw us to the home he's always intended for us from all eternity, a home with him in heaven. And so when we've been talking about home in this series, we've really been talking about being with God. Talk about heaven in many respects. And we've thought about our first home with God that's made for us in Eden. We thought about the promise that God gave us of a home that was given to Abraham. We thought about how Jesus was sent to bring us home and how we are to think about home, indeed long for home with God. And this week we're thinking about the place of church in this theme. How does a local church like REC reflect the idea of home in the Bible? I want to suggest to you that we might think of church as being home away from home. And so we're going to look at it under the idea under three headings. A home away from home is gathering in such a home and thriving in such a home. So a home away from home is gathering in such a home and thriving in such a home. First of all then, home away from home is ... There are lots of metaphors in the Bible for what church is. They're all helpful. How does this particular idea help us understand church? Well, what Vicky read for us there, Acts chapter 2, we read about, the very, very first church that's coming into being, that first home away from home that Jesus has built through his very, very earliest of followers. We can see how people join that church. We can see what happens. Look there in Acts chapter 2. You probably want to keep it open. In the first part of the chapter, down to verse 36, Peter's preached the good news about Jesus. He's taught them, as Elliot was saying, what they had seen. This gospel, this good news. And that the people was listening were sinners, who they needed to be saved from their sins. If they were saved for their sins, they could go to heaven because of the work that Jesus had done, because of he came to die in their place. And you can see there, verse 37, when the people heard that good news about Jesus, they were, it says there, cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. They had understood the good news about Jesus. They understood how big their sin was. They understood how far from God they were, how far from home they were. And so they said to Peter, What can we do? So Peter gets the fact, okay, they've understood the message. So he tells them, repent. So change the direction of your life and be baptized. And then they were added to the number of people in the church, it says. And guess what? That's how people then join REC. Right now, they hear and believe the good news about Jesus. They repent, they turn their lives to follow him, they are baptized, and they are then added to our number, which means becoming a member of the church. We've had some membership classes over the last couple of weeks. That's how people become a part of the church. That's what the church is, these people. So if that's true, if that's what the church is, then what can we say about this home away from home? Well, a home away from home and a church are both sustaining. That they build us up. In a home, we find shelter. We find something of belonging. We find something of connection, encouragement, something of freedom, something of that personal growth that Elliot was talking about. And although churches can sometimes be messy and difficult to be in and frustrating, there are still places where we experience these things. They show us a little bit about how we're going to experience those things in our final home when we're with God in heaven. In a home away from home, we might find resources. We find perhaps food, information, help with problems. There might be people there who have skills and knowledge they can share with us. And in the church, we find similar resources. We find the Bible being taught. Find communal prayer. Brothers and sisters who love us and invest in us. Further in the church, we find spiritual gifts being used. We find the Holy Spirit living among us. All being used to build up the church. All these things are, I want to suggest, sustaining for a church as a whole, but also for the individuals, for each of us who are part of the church. Does it provide everything we need? No. God has provided many things for us that provide different things in our life. But the church is the only one whose primary mission is telling people about Jesus. Whose primary mission is helping them to love each other and investing in our spiritual lives. This helps sustain us when we're suffering, perhaps when we're in conflict, in good times, in bad times, even when we're waiting for our final home. I guess a home away from home is somewhere where we're waiting. Waiting to go to the place that we think of as home. And that means then that a home away from home and a church, there's a certain sense of anticipation. Anticipation for our real home, our final home. Almost by definition, a home away from home isn't home, but you're looking forward to being at home. So it has some of the characters of the actual home. Perhaps it has, depending on what it is, it might have some of the same decor, perhaps some of the same people we expect to be there. Perhaps the tastes of home, the smells of home, the sounds of home. When I smell certain things cooking, I think of my home when I was with my mum and dad, because it reminds me of my mum's cooking. When I smell burning, it reminds me of no. The same is true. You all thought I was talking about Denise then, didn't you? I can tell you, I didn't say that. The same is true in church. We get an echo of the praises that are offered to God in heaven. We're physically with some of the people who will be with us in heaven in that huge multitude that we sang about. If you're here and you're a Christian, do you realise that the Christian sat next to you? You will be in heaven with them for eternity. You'll be singing praises to God in front of them. That is just with millions of others. In a home away from home, we're going to understand something of the God who we will ultimately experience face to face. We'll have a spiritual snack when we will be of what we'll be feasting on in heaven forever around the table of the King. Our experience in church should make us hunger for being in heaven, to be finally at home with our Saviour. I can remember talking to one of our older church members here at the church, at the door of the church, at the end of a Sunday service. And they said they were looking forward to going home. And I said, I agreed. I said, oh yeah, you know, it's always nice to get back to your own home, isn't it? Yeah, your own place. The comfort of your own four walls. And they corrected me by pointing upwards. And they said, no, that's not the home I'm talking about. I'm talking about a different home. And that dear saint passed on a couple of months later, and I trust they are indeed experiencing all the joys of truly being at home. And they just reminded me of what Paul wrote about. Paul said this. He said he would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. He was anticipating being in heaven. But as well as being sustaining and as well as being anticipating in a home away from home, it can also be attractive to people as well. A home away from home is attractive, thinking about the home that it's pointing towards. People actually use the phrase, and I do feel rather like I'm channeling my mum at this point, ooh, you've made it a real home from home, haven't you? In various places in which you would turn up. Admiring perhaps the character, the ambience of the space. When someone sees a home away from home, they may think, oh yeah, I'd like to see your home, because this is something I can relate to. I like this. It's almost like a taster, almost like an advert. You want to, you know, if you meet someone with good taste, you want to see more in that way. It might be a welcoming room in your university hall of residence, a quirky motorhome with crazy signs inside it or outside it, a workplace desk with all the families, of the pictures of family. Whatever it is, a home away from home can attract people to inquire about our actual home. That's true of the church too. What we model here, how we welcome visitors, how hospitable we are, the experience that people have here in church should be attractive to our real permanent home in heaven. We should have a sense that church has the sensation, almost the smell of heaven, being with God. When people see diversity amongst the people of God, when we're gathered together, when the people see us loving each other, when they hear us praise God, when they hear us preach the good news about Jesus, that should be attractive. Why is it attractive? Because it's pointing towards heaven. It's the imperfect thing pointing towards the perfect thing. So in this way, a home away from home, in this way, a church will be sustaining. It's going to be anticipating. It's going to be attractive. Secondly, then, gathering together in such a home, gathering together in a home away from home. Home is a place where people do gather together and they do things together. Maybe the people who live there, maybe with visitors who are coming to the home. Might be eating together, working together, resting together. When I was a kid, my family, we were huge TV watchers. I mean, we were just plonked in front of the TV and watching it all the time. And remember, folks, there are only four channels. Yes, kids, I know that's incredible to believe. But at that point, there were only four. In fact, there were only three channels, technically, and then the fourth one arrived when I was the age of some of you. Yes, I am that old. Me and my brother went through a big phase where we played board games together. And sometimes we would actually get a board game and play all the way through the night. We didn't go to sleep, and we played on into the next day. The church is the same. It's a home away from home. So there are activities that go on here that characterize the church. If a home away from home is where Christians are gathered together, then we do certain things together that characterize it. Let's dip back into the passage that Vicky read. Look at verse 42. So here we are, as Elliot was just saying, the church leaders, they've only been together for a few weeks here after Jesus has ascended into heaven. And they're already gathering to do particular things. They're already gathering to do specific things. They devote themselves, it says there, devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. What is the apostles' teaching? It's what we now have as the Bible. So this is what REC does. At the very centre of our gatherings is the preaching of the Word of God, the apostles' teaching. And notice they were devoted to it. They didn't just listen politely and then forget about it. They were devoted. What does it look like for you to be devoted? When we preach from the Bible, normally we preach what we call expositional preaching. We take the very meaning of the passage and try to expose that and show that to you all. But there's such a thing as expositional listening, which is all of you guys, when you're listening to the word being preached, really getting into it and really trying to follow along and get into and understanding the main point of the passage. So that's the idea of being devoted to the preaching. But also notice they had fellowship together. That's not just a question of being in fellowship, is not just being in the same space or not in terms of the church. It's not a question of just being acquaintances. The Greek word there is a word that says koinonia. It's got multiple meanings, but includes like the idea of communion, participation, community, sharing, intimacy, holding something almost in common, partnership. There's a striving together towards a goal. There's an intimacy together. This is what the early church devoted themselves to. This is what REC, I hope, devotes ourselves to. What does that mean for you? How can we do that? Also in verse 42, they were dedicated to prayer. We pray as we've just done when we gather together. At other times as well, if we're hearing from God in the Bible, God wants to hear from us through prayers. He wants to hear our hearts. He wants to help us get our hearts in line with his heart in this two-way conversation. You can also see there, as you're reading that passage, they had communion together. They were hospitable to one another. They went into each other's houses. If Starbucks had been invented then, they would have probably gone to Starbucks, but it wasn't. There's mutual support, and all this stuff taking place through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit investing in their lives. Can you see how a church like that is sustaining and attractive and anticipating? Wouldn't you want to have been there? Wouldn't you want to experience that? We are convinced that regularly gathering together with God's people as a church on a Sunday is essential to an individual's Christian life. But if we're gathering together as a church, then how do we really grasp this experience that we've called home away from home? How do we really get hold of it? Do we just sit back and let all those activities take place around us, wash around us, and it all goes on? Finally then, at the third point, thriving in a home away from home. I don't know if you relate to this idea, but it's possible to be in the place that you're thinking of whenever I use the phrase home away from home, and just to exist, just to be there. Perhaps go through the motions, be reasonably happy, but to be so thinking about the real home that we don't benefit from the experience of being home away from home now. The benefit of living in the moment, the benefit of being here now. Yes, it is perfectly true that when we're in heaven, we will be totally satisfied and totally joyful and totally blessed. However, God's desire is that we should experience a bit of that now. That we would live an abundant life in our church home away from home. So, when we're gathered together on a Sunday, don't just be a consumer of the service. Deciding for yourself whether or not it met your needs and if it was satisfying. Instead, pray for the preacher. Take part as someone in the congregation. Pray for the musicians. Join in the songs. Join in the songs like you mean it. I was just so moved at just seeing again the church as one foundation. I just love the words of that. The whole church victorious will be the church at rest. I look forward to that moment. If there's a series that we're going through, and we're usually preaching through a series, we're going to be back in Exodus soon. Read that next bit of the Bible before you come along. Pray about it. Think about it a little bit so you're familiar with it. You're not just coming to it cold as we go into the service. What else could you do? Invest in intentional relationships. Get to know the people in the church well. Get to know what's happening in their lives and be authentic with them so they know what's happening in your life. That's one of the reasons why we have life groups. Yeah, small groups where you can get together with 10, 11, 12 other people. Get to know them really well. Get to know what's joyful in their life. Get to know what they're struggling in their life. Get to know how you can pray for them. Get to know how you can encourage them. Help them bear one another's burdens. We will best experience this fellowship, this koinonia, that God intends for his people when we know each other well. It's very hard to have that kind of experience when we don't really know what's going on. How else? We can intentionally disciple and be discipled. Home is not a passive place where people never change, where things don't change. We all change every day. Did you know that? Every one of us changes every day. I'm changing quite a lot at the moment, to be honest with you. It seems to be in a horizontal direction mostly, but that's not necessarily very good. But seriously, we all change in different ways. Jesus intends that we should grow to be more like him. And so we should be intentional about that. So let's learn together and grow together. Let's find out how God would have us grow more to be like his son. Let's do that together. We do that in lots of different ways. I've always been blessed to meet with other brothers and sisters, perhaps during the middle of the week, and to read the Bible together, to read some kind of book study together, to pray together. I'm just remembering meeting with Jai a couple of years ago and going through the Beatitudes. That was a sweet time together. Finally, though, we thrive when we remember that it is only home away from home. That ultimately those who have repented and believed are destined for a final home. When we are there, we will join with all believers throughout space and time in that universal church that is perfected, ready for our eternal role. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 7. This is the church which all Christians will finally take part in. Imagine this. Just think about what this will be like. After that, this is the Apostle John writing. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, that is Jesus. They were wearing white robes and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Can you imagine being there when that happens? Because brothers and sisters, if you are Christian, you will be there. You will have that experience. We're going to hear more about that next week. I'm going to steal the thunder from next week's sermon. So, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about what we've described there as being at home, away from home, and being in the church? Perhaps you recognise that description. You get what it is that we're experiencing here. As I said, it's not perfect. But you get the idea that it's pointing us towards heaven, that it's pointing us towards our final home. You understand that in our singing, in our prayers, that there is an importance, that we're taking part in that whole story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that whole story about God calling us home. That your own life is part of that story. But perhaps you don't recognise that. Perhaps you feel a little dissatisfied. Perhaps you feel like you'd rather be watching football or walking in the Peak District. Just think about that for a minute. Just think about what you're saying there. Jesus, your good shepherd, has brought you here. Do you think he's made a mistake? Do you think that somehow he got it wrong? Do you not trust him to bring you to the place where exactly you are supposed to be? Remember, we've described Jesus as a good shepherd. Do you not think he's brought you to the green pastures he's prepared for you in advance when he has brought you here? Do you think about what that implies about Jesus? Do you feel that church is something perhaps you can take or leave? That there are many more important things you could do? What does that say about the value of the death of Jesus? That he died to make the church, to build the church. And I hope that we all get the value of gathering together in God's people, with the church, the value of being joined together in membership of the church, to be a part of the church that Jesus died for. One of the biggest regrets in my life is the weeks where I was not in church on a Sunday as a younger man. Young people, I'm really speaking to you now, particularly young guys, but young people. My various attitudes would be, could be all kinds of things. I'm a bit tired. Can't really be bothered. I don't really like it. I don't really like all the people who are there. If I had a time machine, I would go back and kick myself so hard, it would be unimaginable. Young people, I appeal to you, learn from me. Do not have the kind of regrets that I have. Come to church, listen to the message, sing with us, pray with us. If you're old enough, be in a life group with us. The world tells us that we learn from our own mistakes. And that is true. We do learn from our own mistakes. But trust me, young people, it is much, much, much less painful to learn by other people's mistakes and don't make that mistake yourself. Learn from the older Christians around you. Learn from me. Trust me. Be in church. And ask those people around you intentional questions about their lives. Don't make the mistake of thinking that church is just one of the chores to be done reluctantly. Make gathering with the church a priority. But to adults as well in the room, I also appeal to you. Life gets busy. I know that. Boy, do I know that. It seems the modern life with all of its, for all of its technology, its access to information, its sophistication, its experiences, it seems to be designed to deliberately distract us from the priorities that it gives us in the Bible. It is essential that we take the time to hear from God. It's essential we take time to hear from our brothers and sisters. Think how much time you will spend in a week watching the TV or online, on social media, versus the hour and 15, hour and 30 minutes of being in church each week. We need to be careful with our priorities. We need to be careful with our characters, our calendars. We need to kick back against the expectations of others and make gathering with the church a priority. But maybe you're here and you're not yet a Christian. Perhaps this is your first visit with us, or perhaps you've been coming along for a while. I hope you've gained something of the sense while you've been here of home away from home, of being at home. You've recognised perhaps some of the things we've talked about. Perhaps as you've seen us interacting with each other, as out of the corner of your eye, as you've heard the heartfelt prayers, as you've heard our singing, as we've heard the Bible explored, we've got something of that sense of what it means to be in this particular kind of home away from home, in this particular church. Then make gathering with this church a priority in your life. Hear more about this God who sent his Son into the world to die for you. Experience this church that he is building. Even today, as he continues to build it, find out what you might expect to happen in heaven. Join with us through faith and repentance as we look forward to being in front of our Saviour. Can't wait to be home. But while I'm waiting to be home, let's grasp the experience of being this home away from home. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is so instructive. There is so much in it. We could spend 10 sermons exploring this part of Acts chapter 2. Lord, help us to see its richness. But more importantly, help us to apply it into our lives. Help us to understand the place that the church has in your great scheme of salvation. Having understood it then, help, Lord, let it inform us. Let it change our lives. Lord, may we be looking forward to being here with our brothers and sisters. Maybe looking forward to being with our brothers and sisters throughout the week as we do life together, not just Sunday together. And Father, we pray that it would be attractive to people, that when people see REC, that they go, oh, okay. There's something different here. There's something different here that's pointing to something that is very different. I want to know more. Father, we're not yet the church we should be, but we are no longer the church that we were. Lord, we are growing. Lord, we are learning more of you. You are making us into the body of believers you want to be, and you will continue doing that until we're called home to be with you. Lord, may this experience be one that is, may this experience be something that really turns our hearts towards the great truths about who you are, about who we are, and who you've designed us to be. Lord, we love you. We look forward to being with you. Amen.